Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. She's Michelle Knezovic. I'm Chase McCabe, the reporter Nick Keyser, on the ones and twos on this Friday. And let me tell you, it's a feisty Friday up in here.
Yeah, what is your fireball hot take? It is hot in here today. Hot take Friday. Fireball hot take Friday.
He's got fireball hot take Friday. We need a Sean Fort. We need a feisty Friday.
Feisty, spicy.
Something like that.
Maybe a hot sauce. We maybe look around some hot sauce.
Because what I'm going to do is just read texts from the text line that piss me off. And, you know, people nitpicking.
Just put some hot sauce on it.
Yeah, you know. I mean, look, that's what it is sometimes. But, yeah, we're feisty. We're fired up today. But yeah, I wanted to get into this a little bit because so Elliot Friedman is must listen to radio when he comes on Caroline Willie and D-Mace every Thursday at 1 o'clock. We have Greg Wyshynski on Thursday on our show, which he is fantastic and brings a lot of info. And then you get that in the afternoons with Elliot. And I feel like it's a weekly thing with Elliot, and Caroline's usually the one asking the question of what is the latest with John Hines. And here is the reason that this keeps coming up, because in the two times that Barry Trotz has been asked about it, once in the press conference at the end of the year, once on Robbie and Rex Road that you were a part of, he's kind of given the same answer of we're evaluating. Well, at some point, the evaluation has to be done and you have to make a decision. Yep. And so, I mean, right now, John Hines is the head coach. He is under contract. I recognize all that. I personally believe that he deserves an opportunity to remain the head coach. With what he did, you know, in the second half of the season, post-trade deadline, and with the young players. But I also understand that Barry Trotz coming in as the new GM, even though he's a voice we all know here, he's a new voice, that he wants to do his own thing and maybe bring in his own guy. I respect all of those things. But at some point, something's got to give and we got to have a decision, because I think with the draft, you know, a month away – obviously, you'll get into free agency after that. You want to have the coaching staff in place. I do believe the coaching staff will look different, but what does that mean for the head coach? Elliot Friedman was on yesterday and, of course, was asked about the Preds' impending decision.
I think, Carolyn, we're going to know one way or the other pretty soon. I don't know if it'll be before the weekend. I know it's a long weekend in the States. I don't know if it'll be before that. But I think we're going to have our answer one way or the other. I do think the Predators have at least looked into some things. I think it would be wrong of me to say I know the answer one way or the other, because I don't. But I think they've looked at some things, and I think we're going to get an answer one way or the other pretty soon.
Do you know what they've looked at, what those things may have been?
I don't specifically know, but I think they – look, I think it's fair to say that Barry Trotz looked at what might else be out there and if any of that appealed to him. But I don't know if they've actually interviewed anyone. I don't know that they've done that, but I think that they've surveyed. I think the best way for me to put it is they've surveyed the landscape to see what could be out there.
That is the key phrase. They have surveyed the landscape. Because here's the other thing, too. They have a head coach, so they cannot – technically interview coaching candidates. But look, as a part of the evaluation process, conversations are had. This happens all the time. It's not just with the Predators. It's with, you know, any league, any team.
Yeah.
I mean, you're constantly evaluating. I mean, look at, I'll use the NBA as an example. Look at the Milwaukee Bucks. Mike Budenholzer won a championship, what, 2 years ago? He's fired.
That is still wild to me.
Yeah, and I think that's a mistake.
I agree.
I think that's a mistake. And look, I know some people, this is kind of a mixed bag. I think the Rangers are going to regret firing Gerard Gallant. But, you know, that's just the way it is. So Barry Trotz knows a lot of people. You know, Spencer Carberry is the hot name that's out there. He's going to get a head coaching job this year, whether it's here or Washington or – you know,
New York,
Columbus, whatever. He's going to get a job. So I think that you have to, in these situations, you have to kind of know what you're going to do and that it's going to work before you make the corresponding move, which would be, moving on from John Hines. So, but again, like I think John deserves to come back. I think that it's, you know, the longer this is out there, because here's the other part of this. If there's rumors out there, you know, and Elliott's very careful how he presents things, but Elliott's also very good at his job. If Elliott knows something, John Hines probably knows something too. And that's got to be a very uncomfortable position to be in. And, you know, it's unfair, but it's a part of it. And so I hope that there is a resolution to this soon. It could be, and here's the other part. I'll play the other side of this. They know more than we do. Mm-hmm. And so it could be that Barry has gone to John and go, hey, we look forward to having you back. We want to wait and finalize the staff before we make some sort of announcement. And maybe Carl Taylor's a part of that, of coming up as an assistant. Mm-hmm. And so they're waiting on Milwaukee season to be done before they do that. That could very well be a possibility too.
Well, and I think too, we've talked about this a lot, Barry Trotz's perspective coming into this general manager role. There's a lot that we don't know in this situation. And I think for him, David Poyle, and John Hines to all sit up there at the end of the year, yeah, I believe that Barry Trotz and John Hines had a conversation and they both were on the same page, because I think they're all smart enough to know that question probably would be coming their mm-hmm. way, because they hear things, they listen to media, they listen to sports talk radio. They know what people are talking about. They know the way the team has performed the last couple of years. But I'm on the same page with you, Chase. I mean, I think what we saw was kind of, you know, it fueled the fire a little bit at the end of the year, seeing the way that John was able to get a lot of this production and play out of some of these young players. Okay, now what does it look like when some of your veteran players are healthy, you implement some of the younger players, yeah. and it becomes a different core? Like, could we see Cody Glass on a line with Forsberg? What would that look like in the step that he's taken? I mean, adding these guys, but then having that veteran presence as well, you know, what could he do coaching a team that looks like that? Because I think, you know, what we've seen from John Hines, no, the team hasn't been what it's been in the past, what you've seen under Peter Laviolette at the highest level it's been in the history of this franchise. But I also, too, look at the roster and I think, okay, I think what this team has done is also a fair expectation for the players that were also on this roster. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. But you bring up a good point, too. I do think my concern is that from what we have seen, John did a good job with the young players. But there were times where with the veterans, I don't think, and for one reason or another, it was either them or there was a miscommunication or whatever, you weren't seeing the best out of them. Now, you can also make the argument that last year...
You did.
You had career years from Josi and Forsberg and Duchesne. So that can show you the ebbs and flows of hockey and of sports in general, that I can't explain sometimes. But I do think that it is hard to balance, especially when you have a mix of young and old. Sometimes it's hard to balance that. But I also say this, Barry Trotz is very good at it, and John would have him to lean on and to him as an advisor. Because make no mistake, Barry is going to get out of the way. He's going to be in the front office. He's not going to be the coach. But there's no reason that John can't go to him or whoever can go to him and go, how would you handle this situation?
Yeah, and he wants some advice. So he will help.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that shouldn't be lost on everybody that you have a guy. And I remember I made that same comment when the Vols hired Jeremy Pruitt. And that Philip Fulmer was the athletic director. And I turned out to be way wrong on that because the AD still wanted to be the coach. I don't believe that's the case with Trotz. I believe that Trotz is ready to move on to the next chapter in his career, but he can always be an advisor. Just like David Poyle is going to be an advisor to him.
Well, and I mean, Barry had that opportunity. He very well could have got a coaching
100%.
Job. I mean, there were teams out there, but it was clear that, you know, I remember when we found out he had gotten the house in Nashville, he was staying here, and then he reached out to the Predators in December of, you know, hey, here's where I'm at in my career, in my life. I feel as though I'm ready to close that coaching chapter, and obviously we know how it's turned out. I will say, though, I think something that is just kind of interesting regarding this entire situation, and I kind of relate it to the Tennessee Titans, like we heard a lot of those rumors coming out. We have not heard anything coming out. I mean, yeah, Elliot said, yeah, they're kind of putting feelers
out
there.
I think there's a reason.
But I will say, a lot of times there will be something reported that, whether it's Diana Rossini, everybody, Vrabel's probably her source, who knows? But if you want something to get out as an organization, it will get out. It's sure. Very, very clear that it is lock and key, and there has been nothing coming out regarding this entire situation.
Yeah, so something to continue to monitor as things move along. Dallas stays alive. Last night, they forced a game 5, so no sweep there. Florida will just sit and, you know, see what happens. And Milwaukee falls last night to Coachella Valley 6-4. Game 2 will be tomorrow night. You can hear that after game 5 on 102.5, 106.3, the game. So the baby Preds, the Milwaukee Admirals, continue to fight in the Calder Cup playoffs. Coming up next, we're going to dive back into the Titans because there is something that I hear a lot and I'm kind of getting tired of it. I will explain that next here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Beach Bend Park in Splash Lagoon Water Park. Just go to thegamenashville.com/deals for a buy one, get one free admission for just $44.99. Beach Bend Park is your ticket to summer fun. Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park, just a short drive to Bowling Green, Kentucky. We might have to do that this summer.
Let's do a team building event.
Can we do a show at Beach Bend and then go, you know, to the water park and everything?
I love water parks.
I do too.
They're the best. So fun.
I love it.
Or on a roller coaster somewhere.
Real quick, so Shane in the Borough, who's a loyal listener, and I love this, he made me laugh with this text, and I feel like now I need to explain myself. He says, every time you use the term baby Preds, it makes me hope that Michelle reaches across the desk and thumps the crap out of your Adam's apple, which that's a little aggressive.
That would hurt so fast.
The Admirals are adult men, not 10 or 11-year-old junior players. You are 100% right. Here's why I do that. Back in, I think it was 06, 07, maybe 05, the Braves were in a transition where they had a ton of young players that were about to come up to the majors. Jeff Francoeur, Brian McCann were, you know, the main two. And so they were dubbed the Baby Braves. That's everybody called them that. And they embraced it, and it was like the media thing. And so I think that's why I do that. It's just I remember saying the Baby Braves, Baby Bravos. And so it's just kind of a habit. So that's what it is. It's not meant to be derogatory or anything like that. Just having fun.
It's supposed to be the men Milwaukee Admirals, Chase.
Professional hockey team Milwaukee Admirals, which they are.
And don't worry,
I
would never thump your Adam's apple.
Please don't.
You wouldn't be able to do the show.
Please don't. Just give me a look. Yeah, the stern look, you know, like I know. I know when I'm in trouble.
Give
when
him
I get
the side
a,
eye.
The side eye, like, okay, I've done it now. Okay, there is something that Titans fans, I told you we're feisty today. There's something that some of you, not all of you, some of you have been doing lately, and I feel like it's grasping at straws and it needs to be addressed.
Okay.
And I have decided to bring evidence to the table to describe what I'm talking about. This was a call yesterday on the Stillman and Company program. Chris calls in and he has a thought for Jared, and I think Jared and I are on the same page on this. Here was the call.
We all hate the Titans receiving room, correct?
Correct.
What about Tyjae Spears at wide receiver? Is it possible that Rand Carthon had that in mind when he was drafted? I think the guy has promise at playing possibly. I'm not talking about running back out of the backfield catching balls. I'm talking about using him at receiver, which I thought the Titans should have done with Chris Johnson back in the day, a little bit here and there. They didn't want him to get injured. Okay, and now I'm going to quickly get on to question number two so I don't waste your time. Question number two is, what do you think about a package the Titans may install with Levis at quarterback Tannehill as a receiver because he was a receiver at Texas A&M, and then you've got Spears and Malik Willis in the backfield. I think that could be used as some weapons. I'm just going to hang up and let you talk.
Yeah, I mean, I thank you for your call. I think it's a little crazy.
No.
Thank you.
Whoa, we got all three quarterbacks out there at the same time.
All three quarterbacks at the same time.
Listen.
On one play.
No, God, please, no.
And I hadn't heard this call before this segment.
I purposely did that. I wanted your raw, real reaction.
And I definitely gave you a side eye during this call.
Yes, you did.
Okay, listen. I understand. Listen, I am the first one to go to bat for my teams and to create every possible scenario in my head that will make me sleep at night and will make me think that the Kentucky Wildcats will win a national championship every single year, and for Titans fans, that they could win the Super Bowl every single year. I'm here. I understand the creative lengths that we will go to make our sports team look incredible in our heads. But unfortunately, imagination is not always reality. And I could probably bet my left thumb that would not happen. The only reps that Malik Willis and Will Levis and Ryan Tannehill will be taking will be at quarterback. That is if Will Levis and Malik Willis even see the field in this season. And as far as the Tajay Sharp wide receiver.
Spears.
Oh, my gosh. I knew that was going to happen. I mean. Well,
let me hang on before you go there. Let me get my rant in, because like this is something I was really fired up about. We have got to stop grasping at straws on something that they didn't fix. They didn't fix it. That's on them. They did not go and look. They can make every excuse in the world that okay, it wasn't a strong free agent pool. Did you see the draft class? Like there were definitely some receivers that they could have taken in this draft, and for whatever reason, maneuvering, they didn't. So that's it. That's where they're at right now. So let's stop this. Oh, you know what? This guy can catch a football out of the backfield. Let's just change his position and move him to one that he's never played before, maybe in high school, I don't know, and move him to wide receiver. Oh, we got the third quarterback that nobody wants anymore. Let's convert him to a wide receiver or a tight end. It works on Madden. It doesn't always work in real life. Like, it drives me nuts when I hear that. Did you not see when they tried that last year and they put Malik Willis in at another position? Guess what he did? He fumbled the damn football. And so now you want to pull a page out of the Ravens book where they had the all Heisman backfield with Lamar Jackson and RG3 and Mark Ingram. And it's like, oh, that worked for them. Let's do that with us with a third-round pick and a second-round rookie. I mean, Chris, we appreciate your calls.
He's not the only one.
You're not the only one. But I heard that, and I walked in here during the break, and I looked at Jared, and I said, my exact words were, I am so tired of these cockamamie thoughts with converting people to a position that makes no sense. I'm all about creativity.
Yes.
But let's stop being ridiculous.
Yes, I agree. You know, creativity when it comes to plays, I mean, you know, like the flea flicker last year, and that was just a creative player. You mentioned when they had Malik Willis in there for a specific package for him. It didn't work out. I get that. Or having a guy out there as a decoy. I mean, Malik lined up, you know, at wide receiver in one game last year. So I understand, you know, not changing guys' positions. The reason he went in the third round is because he is a great running back. Yeah, he might be a different type of running back, like similar maybe more to a Saquon or a Christian Kirk, where, you know, he's catching and getting a lot of receiving yards along with rushing yards. Yeah, that's an option. He can be another threat, another passing game threat. Okay, Chig. Chig's not – I've heard the Chig lineup at wide receiver too. No, Chig's a tight end. Yeah, you're going to utilize him in the passing game. Just because you're going to utilize somebody in the passing game does not mean they can still be a running back and they can still be a tight end, does not mean you need to change their entire position to a wide receiver.
No.
Like, there are other people you can throw the ball to on the field.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. And Teron talked about this morning. Jared brought it up yesterday on Stillman & Company. I think you're going to see a lot of – two tight end, two running back sets, which what's wrong with that? And yes, Tajay Spears, you can throw him out wide on some of those things. That's fine. You're lined up in the backfield with Henry and Spears, Tannehill motion, Spears goes out wide. Like that, you can do that stuff. That's fine. But converting him, it's just it boggles my mind.
Also, you know, Tannehill, he did play wide receiver in college. You know who else did? Caleb Farley. So, like, people...
Is he even on the team?
That'll become the new tagline. Tannehill is the starting.
Well, and I've heard that with Tannehill before. And I've brought this up in a perfect world of being creative and being awesome. Hell yeah, I'd put Will Levis on a play and throw Tannehill out wide. But then what are you going to do? Because if I'm a DB, I'm going to start salivating at the mouth when I see the starting quarterback catch the ball. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to knock his head off. Yeah. And then what are you going to do when he gets knocked out with a concussion because you were trying to be cute?
Let's just have Derrick Henry start throwing a TD passes. Not bad at all.
Well, he's done that. So that works. 615-737-1025. What do you think? Am I crazy about this? I want to hear from the people. 615-737-1025. We'll take your calls and texts next. Here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, 615-737-1025. That is our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. And we are fired up. I am fired up.
Feisty, spicy
Michelle,
Friday.
Michelle is kind of the voice of reason right now, even though I think she agrees with me.
I so agree.
We got some texts we'll get to in a second, but let's go to the phones, get some calls. Greg wants to weigh in. Greg, what's up?
Hey, Greg.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I think everybody's forgetting what Rand Carthon mentioned, and also Mike Brable said he wanted to be faster. I think you're going to see more like a San Francisco-style offense with this team this year. I think everybody's going to be surprised. What do you think?
Okay, appreciate the call. And look, thanks, Greg. That's fine. And a texter said, let's see, where did it go? No. I just saw this. Here we go. Unnamed texter says, I think having Spears play something similar to Deebo Samuel is not crazy, but everything else that guy said is insane. The fact that we're going to end up signing a veteran wide receiver that gets cut, that'll be our number two for this year. We're running a running football team that's going to run multiple tight end sets, so wide receiver isn't as important as it is on other teams. I don't know if I agree with that, but fine. If you want to use him in a Deebo role, I'm okay with that. But the way that the caller, Chris, was saying, it was basically just convert him to a wide receiver. I'm cool using creativity in that sense because he does have that versatility. But I just think there's too much of, oh, well, and especially with Malik Willis, like, well, he's not working out at the position that he's played his entire life, so let's change him to something else.
Yeah, and I think
rarely does that work.
I think when you bring up or drawing the comparison of, well, they played it in high school or college.
Right.
College,
Tannehill
I
was a wide receiver.
I can be a little bit more open to the college conversation just because you're still playing it at a high level. But, I mean, first off, Tannehill is the starting quarterback. That I'm not even going to address. But to the Tajay Spears point, you know, when you bring up a Deebo Samuel, like, his was more of, you know, a wide receiver and then kind of evolved to that wide receiver running back hybrid role or whatever. But I remember the huge thing with him the past offseason, it was, well, he wants to be viewed more as a wide receiver because of the contracts. And he knows that if he's viewed more as a wide receiver, you're going to get that bigger contract because people don't pay running backs as much. But I could see more of that where Tajay's a running back, but kind of evolves into more of a hybrid role. And we know how much that Mike Vrabel loves versatility on this team. So I think, you know, whatever way they find, whatever way Tim Kelly finds to implement Tajay Spears into the offense, and whether maybe it is a hybrid role like that. But I completely agree. I mean, this is not going to be we drafted a running back from Tulane who was really electric and he was a dynamic playmaker, changing him into a wide receiver, because then it's not, you're not highlighting his strengths. I mean, the reason he went where he was in the draft is because of his success at the running back position at Tulane. So, I mean, you wouldn't really be doing yourself like he would have been if he was a great wide receiver, he would have been right receiver, right? So I get the hybrid role which could be interesting too. And I'm not against that. I mean, sure. They are going to have to do creative things with this offense.
Wes in Clarksville said, I still want to see King Henry as a pass rusher. That would be wild. Yeah, no, that would be interesting if they were to do that.
I would
They're
be
not
scared
going to do that.
If I was the other quarterback. I'd be scared.
I mean, hypothetically, yes, but you'd also know that he doesn't play that position, so would you be?
He's the king.
I mean, he's a truck. You'd see a big diesel truck coming at you, but, you know, that is
just
what it is.
Just the size of him.
Ken and Waverly, I'm all for dumping Willis in as a sort of Taysom Hill from New Orleans role. No. They tried stuff like that last year. It didn't work. I would love that. I mean, I was a proponent of it, too. Use him in some gadget plays. Every time they tried to use him in a gadget play, it didn't work.
I will say, though, I mean, you look at what the team was last year and Malik Willis being a rookie. And I understand, you know, you are in the NFL now. You need to go out there and perform when you are given the opportunity. And he messed up. I mean, he fumbled the ball, right? He messed up on those plays. I'm not opposed to never trying something like that again. I mean, we look at Malik Willis and we look at, you know, the way he performed last year, and we immediately write him off as if he could never play in the one snap in the NFL ever again.
Right.
We do. And I will say, though, I mean, what he was given and the position he was put in last year, I mean, would anybody – I mean, Tannehill wasn't even thriving in a situation like that. You had an offensive coordinator who you ended up firing. You had no wide receiving core. You had no offensive line. And you had a rookie who was at a mid-major school, drafted in the third round, taking a waiver on, who had a completely different offense in college, and then has to start because you had to put your backup quarterback on the practice squad who got picked up. I mean, he wasn't going to thrive in that situation. He wasn't.
Right. And my whole thing on this is, and not all fans are like this, but some fans need to understand that guys are what they are and they have a certain role, and you can't put them in a role that they're not meant for just because you want to put it on a highlight reel and think that it's going to look good on a reel. That's it. You got to play the position that you are good at playing, and then things will work out naturally how they're supposed to. That's how it needs to be.
Or, like you said, you know, trying to fit a square pole in a round hole.
Peg in a round hole.
It's Friday.
615-737-1025. What's up, Nate?
Hey, Nate.
What's up, y'all? So my answer to your comment, Chase, would be if the quarterback gets knocked out, you utilize the new rule, the 3 QB rule. And yes, I understand that the NFL is just trying to mitigate what happened last year with Brock Purdy, but haven't we always been told, in specifically for the NFL, when your starter gets knocked out, the team is basically done for?
Sure. And I mean, in most cases, that's the truth. Thanks for the call, Nate. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Nate. I didn't know where we were going for a second on that one.
It's always a ride with Nate, and that's what I love about Nate. No, but he's right. I mean, if you go to the third string quarterback, typically your season is over. For whatever reason, Kyle Shanahan either is just this good as a coach, as a quarterback whisperer, or, you know, they saw Rand Carthon and everybody that was there saw something in Brock Purdy that nobody else did.
Well, I also think, too, it's the offense that he runs. It's the roster that they have currently constructed. I mean, they're the epitome of being great around a quarterback. They've got a really strong defense, a strong running game, got some wide receivers, a great offensive line. And it very much is an offense that you can plug in a quarterback and they can look great and succeed in a position like that. I will say, though, I mean, Nate mentioned that new quarterback rule. Okay, well, you know, they need to be activated on a Saturday. So it's not going to eliminate what happened to San Francisco in a playoff game where, you know, you have one guy and he gets hurt, and then you have another guy and he gets hurt. You're still going to have to pull from somebody.
Well, no. He's got to be on the 53. The actives come out day of the game.
Or you have to activate them that morning.
Yeah, the day of the game. But here's the other thing. with the way the rules state, so Malik Willis would have to be a regular member of the 53-man roster, right? They can't elevate him. You know how they do the two elevation? So they can't elevate him from the practice squad because this rule states that instead of, I think, what is it, you get 46 players active on a game day, this is a 47th that can only be a quarterback, and that quarterback can only enter the game if the first two get hurt. You would basically have to, if you want to do all this gadget stuff with him, you would basically have to say either A, he's the backup, or B, no, we are activating three quarterbacks that can be used at any time.
Okay. So you understand? I mean,
that's what it is.
So, right, we're throwing out all these scenarios just assuming that, you know, right, if you want to use him for something like that, then he would essentially. That's actually confusing.
Yeah, it
because then, yeah, I am confused now.
Yeah, it's there's language in it that basically, it's honestly to prevent teams from using that extra spot for something other than an emergency quarterback. It is truly meant to be an emergency quarterback position, and so if you are designating Malik Willis as the emergency quarterback, that's all he's going to be. He'll be in uniform. But the only way he touches the field is if Tannehill and Levis get hurt.
Yeah, so you can't do any of these packages everybody's
right.
talking
you would
about.
Have to say, we're not using the emergency quarterback position. We're just dressing all three. And then you can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
That's what it
I
is.
I think that's an important distinction that you just made.
Daryl wants to weigh in. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, Daryl.
Hey, folks. How you doing?
Good.
How are you?
I just want to switch subjects to a totally non-national sports scene. I have to give my props to my Florida Panthers. Got in as the 8th seed, took care of the Bruins, took care of the Maple Leafs, and then now took care of the Carolina Hurricanes. A lot of close games, but Sergei Bobrovsky's playing the best goal he's played in probably 10 years. That we'll get a week off to rest. I hope Dallas extends their series with Las Vegas so they can wear each other out. But I think the Panthers can beat either one of them. I have to be cocky, but I think my boys in Florida are going to win it. Michelle, you're the best lady on sports radio. Take that as a compliment.
Thanks, Daryl. Could always count on Daryl for giving little shout outs to his sports teams.
Yeah, and you know, not listening to what we're talking about, but whatever. You know, that's fine. Thank you for the call, Daryl. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the compliment.
Couple of texts: 615-737-1025. Andrew, always can count on Andrew, too. Malik on the field equals turnover. What geniuses think we need more Malik in there making plays happen? I mean, right now, that's fair.
It is. And what we have seen from him, I understand the reason, you know, you think that. I will play devil's advocate for a second. The situation he was put in was probably one of the worst situations you could be put in as a rookie quarterback. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
I mean, offensive coordinator ends up getting fired. You have essentially no receiving core because people are injured. Your offensive line is one of the worst in the league. Yeah, you have Derrick Henry, but that's essentially the only weapon you have. And you're coming from – you very much were a project, and there was no plan for you to see the field in the first year of being there.
Yeah,
so
no
as,
doubt about it.
As much as we want to dunk on him, yeah, didn't perform well once he got out there. Turnovers, they were an issue. But let's also look at – the awful situation that he was also in that played a role into that.
Yeah. Good discussion. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. We haven't hit our question of the day. We'll do that next to put a bow on things, and maybe it'll calm me down. I am feisty today. This is a good level, and maybe it needs to stay here. That's all next. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezvik, Nick Kieser with you. Intern Nate just walking in, new intern.
One of my students at MTSU.
Go Blue. Go Blue Raiders.
I'm in Brandon. I'm recruiting all the students to come hang out with us and join the crew.
Look, I will say this. I obviously went to MTSU. Fantastic broadcasting program there. So would not be where I'm at without them. So,
and you also have spoken to one of my classes.
I have spoken to one of your classes. So, we are efforting Feisty Friday, Spicy Friday. Like, this has got to be a thing to do. But the question of the day that unfortunately we haven't really gotten to because we hit on so many different things was your most memorable birthday in honor of Michelle. Her birthday is Monday. We're off Monday.
The big 26.
Big 26. That was actually a good year for me. I think I said that the other day. But Keezer and Junie will be doing 9 to noon on Monday. That will be our only live show. You'll hear some Major League Baseball games. We'll have – what do we have that night? We have hockey, I think, that night, maybe. So a lot of different things. Last night, Dallas stays alive, so they'll play Game 5 tomorrow. You'll hear Game 2 of the Admirals in Coachella Valley on Saturday as well. After that, Boston and Miami, they stay alive, Game 5.
Shout hear that after
Sounds Baseball on 94.9, so a full weekend. Sunday is my favorite day because it is a big racing day. Mm-hmm. The Indy 500, you can hear that starting at 10, and then the Coca-Cola 600, the NASCAR race starting at 4.
Grab your canister of milk after the Indy 500.
Yep, canister of milk. Tony Kanaan running his final Indy 500. That's going to be really cool.
Random,
love TK.
Random fact, met him at Frugal McDougal in Nashville.
TK?
2 summers ago. He was doing like something there, and I was like, hey, I met you when I covered the Indy 500 in Indianapolis in 2020.
Was it something around the Grand Prix maybe?
Yeah, it was something because it would have been 2 years ago.
TK is great. Yeah, I love Tony Kanaan.
So are you going to enlighten our listeners and tell them your most memorable birthday story?
Yes. My moment. So I talked about this earlier. My most memorable birthday was probably my 12th birthday.
Okay.
And here's why. There's two things that happened. One thing I would not know for another 15 years that it actually happened. And then the actual day itself. So, my 12th birthday, obviously June 25th is my birthday. And so it was the summer. And, a lot of times, like, I'd go stay with one of the grandparents during the day. You know, I didn't do a lot of summer camps or things like that. I would just, you know, go hang out there. And I was with my dad's mom, my grandmother, and was going to go to the pool because she lived in a condo that had a pool and everything. And she was like, what do you want to do for your birthday? And I had bounced around and saw the other grandparents, and mom was at work and dad was at work. And she was like, what do you want to do? And I said, well, there's a wrestling thing downtown where they're giving away tickets to this wrestling event that's coming, and there's some wrestlers there that I want to meet. And she's like, you know, the look on her face was,
she's like, sure.
Okay, it's your birthday, so why not? And so we go down to Municipal Auditorium. The now defunct WCW World Championship Wrestling was doing an event, and they handed tickets away, and so I got to meet, and again at the time I didn't realize like the significance of this, but there was a group that was led by a wrestler named Kurt Hennig called the West Texas Rednecks. Now, Kurt Hennig is a Hall of Famer. He was Mr. Perfect in the WWF. Barry Windham was one of the Four Horsemen. Jimmy Hart, the Mouth of the South. So I got to meet all these dudes and got their autographs, and like it was so cool. And little did I know, and I found this out 15 years later, but there weren't many people there. And so I met kind of all the fans, and I was 12, so there was a probably 14-year-old kid named Rick Merritt. And that was the first time that we had crossed paths. And we talked about this years later. I brought that day up, and he's like, dude, we probably met that day. Like, I was there.
That's so funny.
So that was like the first time that he and I had been in the same, you know, stratosphere.
That's just crazy how, like, you know – like your paths have crossed with people, or you mm-hmm. meet somebody and you're like, wait, I was there, or something like that. My most memorable, and it's crazy to think.
But
right
I got now, to wrap up the story real quick. I did the wrestling thing, and then we got to go to Outback that night, which was my favorite.
Best bread ever.
Yeah. And prime rib and all those things. So it was a good one.
Mine is, which is crazy now, 10 years ago, my 16th birthday. And this just shows how different, Like boy v girl, my 16th birthday, I got a Sweet 16, which was like the big thing, right? Like the big thing, 16. You know, you see the MTV, My Super Sweet 16, and I would like always watch it. and my mom, like, I don't even know how she planned it. It was like a fake Vegas theme. And we had like fake money, and all my friends would do like the roulette table and blackjack and everything. And that definitely was like my most memorable. You know, all the girls in the dresses, and 16 is such an awkward stage and everybody's nervous. And is anybody going to show up? But shout out to mom there. 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's
kind of crazy. 26 on Tuesday, I'll be here.
20. Unreal. So happy birthday to you, Michelle, that we won't be here on Monday. Let's squeeze in Wes real fast. Wes, what's up?
Hey, Wes.
Oh, good morning. I can't get off of the whole three quarterbacks on the field situation.
I know.
So this is what I got for you. There is one guarantee that all three quarterbacks will be on the field at the same time at this point, at some point this season. And that is when Tannehill's throwing the ball and Levis and Willis are on the bench. And that's about as close as it's going to get. as far as all that goes, I'm very surprised that we haven't had some people come out talking about, well, you know, Derrick Henry threw a touchdown pass. Why don't we line him up at quarterback next season? It's all crazy. But I say all that to say this. As aggravating as it is getting these calls to come in, you can only blame the Titans, because they've given us nothing. Not a wide receiver, not a plan, not really a whole lot of anything to go by. So all we can do in May and June, and probably July, is just sit here and twiddle our thumbs and try to come up with weird situations for offense. So that's their fault.
I think you're right, Wes. Appreciate it.
Hey, Willie D, what's the plan? What's the plan?
Willie, what's the plan? Hey, Evan says, best birthday was my 16th when I went to Hooters and all the waitresses kissed me on the cheek. As a teen, it was the best.
Evan wins.
That's the GOAT!
Actually, I think... No, it was a different one, but I had that happen too. So,
it
was good. It was good. Thanks for that, Evan. Thanks for great participation. Enjoy your long weekend. Remember what it is about. Think a veteran. And remember those that we've lost, and give us the reason that we are free and get three-day weekends. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next. They'll talk about the Titans and everything else. Have a good one.